Welcome back. You're listening to a program. It's called Cross the Border. And my name's Nicholas. We're taking a break from our study in Daniel to go over some rules of prophecy so that we can better understand. And I hope this is all making sense to those of you who have decided to stick around and listen. And this program is not for people who don't care about the Bible or the Word of God or what it says. I care very much about it. I have a passion for it. Otherwise, I couldn't sit here for 2 hours a day and talk with you about it. Beside that, spend another 10, 20 plus hours a week studying into it. And okay, so we're going through these rules for interpreting the beasts and some of the symbols from Daniel and Revelation together. Okay, let's see. Okay, the logical conclusion. I guess we have to back up and find out what is the logical conclusion to what? From Revelation 17, 9 through 10, we learn that heads can also be defined as kings. In Daniel 7, we can observe that the four heads of the leopard beast are the same as the four horns of the goat in Daniel 8. Hence, if the horns are defined first as kings and second as kingdoms in Daniel 8, then logically the heads of the leopard beasts in Daniel 7 must also be defined as kings first and kingdoms second. This reinforces the fact that in Revelation 17, the seven heads are defined as seven kings, or heads equals kings. Therefore, the logical conclusion is this. Beasts have the same definition as heads and horns because they are all primarily defined first as kings, then as kingdoms, and finally as nations. There are several differences between the body of a beast, its heads, and horns. These differences are the order in which the body, different body parts occur, and the degree of power of the different body parts will have compared to any body part that may have come before. The order in which different body parts occurs is this. The body of a beast occurs first, then the heads occur next, and finally the horns arrive after the heads are finished and gone. The heads of a beast will usually have less power compared to its body, and the horns will usually have less power than the heads. So there's a succession there. This principle is demonstrated by the four-headed leopard in Daniel 7 and the goat of Daniel 8. The goat with the great horn represents the same thing as the body of the leopard, the king of Greece. The four heads of the leopard and the four horns of the goat represent the four kings who ruled Alexander's empire after it was divided among four of his generals following his death. Simple enough. The fact that the great horn on the goat is replaced by four horns can help us improve our understanding of Revelation 17. If the first horn on the goat must be replaced by four horns in order to show a progression of time from Alexander's rule to the rule of the four generals who followed his rule, and the four goat horns are equivalent in function to the four leopard heads, then it is logical that in order to show that heads are sequential in Revelation 17, one would have to show heads coming up one after another. In Revelation 17, to show that the heads are sequential, first the beast should have been shown with no heads, just a body appearing headless. Then one head would come up out of the body and present itself to John. Then another head would appear so that two heads were then on the beast. Then a third head would appear, and so on until all seven heads had appeared to John. Such a scene shows that the heads are sequential in nature. I hope that makes sense. Fairly logical. You may question that this has to be done to show that the heads are sequential, but in fact this very phenomena appeared in Daniel 8, and nobody ever notices. Here's what it says. Then I lifted up my eyes, and this is Daniel 8:3. It says, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Do you see what this means? If you read it carefully, Daniel tells us in this verse that he first saw the beast without the horns. Then the first horn came up, followed by another horn, which came up and rose higher than the first. Study the verse carefully, because that's exactly what Daniel says, even though he does not say it in those exact words. The clue is what he is actually saying in the phrase, and the higher up horn, or the higher horn, came up last. So there is a sequential, or a sequence there, that the smaller horn came up first, and the higher horn, and as he says, came up last. Now to understand this, the ram appeared without horns at first, and then it grew one horn, and then another horn, which rose higher. This means there is a sequence of events, both reviewed from history of Daniel's time and foretold from his time. God was telling Daniel that the ram without the horns represented the king of Persia before the two kings of Media and Persia arose to dominate that kingdom. According to this prophecy, apparently, the king of Media rose to prominence first, followed by the king of Persia, who gained greater prominence and control of Persia than the Median king, so rose higher to represent this fact. But the significant point here is that there is a sequence of horns that occurs here to show that they occur in sequence. The horns of the goat actually appear in sequence. In Revelation 17, if God had wanted to show that the seven heads of the scarlet beast truly are to be understood as a sequence of kings, then just as the goat's horns in Daniel 8 were shown to come up in sequence, the seven heads of the scarlet beast in Revelation 17 must also come up in sequence. Yet that does not happen, which strongly hints that the sequential kingdom's interpretation is incorrect. But some might object to this by saying that the seven heads are explained to be in sequence in the text, so God did not need to show them appearing in sequence on the scarlet beast. Usually that would be a valid reason to object, because there are places in Daniel where God shows things in prophecy by either or both visual representation or verbal explanation. However, the objection is not true in this case, because there are two different general interpretation methods available for the seven heads. Both methods must be considered and the correct one selected. The two methods are these. 1. All seven heads can be interpreted to appear in sequence, just as many believe they are, and as the text appears on the surface to suggest. 2. 6 of the seven heads can be interpreted to appear at the same time and to rule in parallel, with the six heads simply surviving past the others so that they have fallen while it remains. The seventh one appears after the sixth head has left the scene of history. One might say that they run concurrently, except for the last two heads, which clearly are in sequence. One must honestly deal with the facts regardless of which interpretation method one wants to use. Factually, a careful reading of Revelation 17 reveals that only the last two heads, the one is and the one is not yet come, are actually explained to be in sequence. The five that have fallen are not explained to be in sequence at all, but rather people assume they are in sequence based on the fact that the last two are said to be in sequence and the first five appear to occur before the one is. Assumptions are not nice. Assumptions are nice and may be considered, but they are not the same as facts. The one is head appears on this basis to be in sequence after the five have been heads, but that is not provable based on the information the angel gives. It is possible that the one is actually started sometime during the time of the five have fallen heads and has merely survived longer than they have. If so, then the first five heads have fallen and the one is remains merely because of longer survival than the other heads. You should not dismiss this possibility, because if you do, you're not dealing with the facts as they stand in Revelation 17, and factually, you cannot disprove it. But one can take this further and simply realize that there is the possibility that all of the first six heads started out together and have fallen one by one until only one remained. In this way, indeed, five have fallen, and the one remaining was said to be the one is. After that, the sixth head fell, and after the first six fell, then the final one came up. This possibility cannot be eliminated on the basis of the statements of the angel and must not be rejected just because one does not like it or because most scholars have failed to consider this and instead promote the sequential heads idea. The scholars have not always been right about many things in their lives. Their failure to consider this is unfortunate, but we should not make the same mistakes they have made. We must consider all possibilities. The best thing about this possibility is that it fits in with the way things are done in Daniel. In Daniel, heads ruled concurrently, meaning together at the same time. So why should we not consider that this same thing could happen in Revelation 17 with the first six heads? Therefore, in this case, to be sure the message is correctly understood, it is necessary for the angel to show the seven heads appearing on the scarlet beast in sequence if, in fact, it was actually intended for them to be understood from the text to occur in sequence. Because that is not done, it does not rule out the possibility of a concurrent rulership of these seven kings. This actually shifts the evidence in favor of concurrent rulership of the seven kings of Revelation 17. Next principle. This is the forward view principle. And this rule states, in visions involving predictions of the future, God usually had Daniel and John look forward in time, starting from their time of existence and down through time forward towards our day. This is demonstrated by the vision of Daniel 7, in which all four beasts, beginning with the beast representing Babylon, came up out of the sea. This vision probably occurred when the kingdom of Babylon was nearing its end, yet is shown coming out of the sea in the vision. The lion, which represented Babylon, could have been shown already standing on the seashore, and three more beasts could have come up after it. But instead it was shown as coming up out of the sea, like the rest of the beasts, in order to demonstrate its origins. This is also demonstrated with the four heads of the leopard beast of Daniel 7. Here all four heads are shown together. The four kingdoms, which the four heads represent, began their existence together, but existed together only about 20 years before one of the four conquered one of the other three. And as a result, only three heads remained from about 280 BC. The three heads remained together for about 112 years thereafter. Later, the Romans conquered the three remaining Greek or Macedonian kingdoms at one time in 168 BC. 63 BC and 30 BC are the dates of the three conquests by the Romans. So they could have been shown fallen at one time, but they were not. Instead, all four of them were shown together, a condition which existed only at the beginning of the division of Alexander the Great's kingdom. This indicates a view from the beginning. This is also demonstrated by the vision of the image in Daniel 2. Here, the four kingdoms are represented by an image which is different metals, in which different metals, starting with the head of gold, represented different successive kingdoms and time periods in future history. All four parts are shown as one, as if they were an accomplished fact, yet three of them were not the dominant powers of that region at the time of Daniel. Eventually, one by one, they did take over the region, but the fact that they were all shown together on the image indicates a view from the beginning rather than the end. And I have here a picture of Babylon, the image, the head of gold, and from 612 to 539 BC, Medo-Persia from 539 to 331 BC, and Greece from 331 to 168 BC, and then the legs of iron, and from 168 BC to AD 476, And then after that, of course, the 10 kingdoms, the division of Rome into clay and iron, and eventually the 10 kingdoms and the toes. It seems logical that we should view other prophetic elements in the same way. This is perhaps less important than the other rules, but it does have implications on how one interprets certain elements of the beast's heads and horns in both Daniel and Revelation. A final example of where the view of time was from the past forward, past towards the future, is in Daniel 7. Okay, a final example where the view of time was from the past towards the future is in Daniel 7. Daniel's time, looking down the timeline toward our day, he was not looking through history from our time backwards. Instead, he was looking through time towards our day. That brings us to our next principle, the singularity principle. The singularity principle states, the body of each beast, which represents an earthly power, is one and only one power, nation, kingdom, king, power, or name of a king. Okay, the body of a beast that represents an earthly power is one and only one power, nation, kingdom, or king. The lion of Daniel 7 represented Babylon and only Babylon. It did not represent both Babylon and Greece. This rule is also demonstrated in Revelation 13, where each beast represents one and only one power. Heads or horns are merely subdivisions of the power, territory, or people the beast's body represents. A beast with its heads and horns can also be looked upon as one long time period existing from the beginning to the end of its days of dominance. The body, heads, and horns are merely subdivisions of that entire time period and power that the beast represents. So that's the singularity principle. A direct biblical evidence that this is true is given in the text from Daniel 7:17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Note that this would apply to both the leopard beast with four heads and the dreadful beast with its horns. Each beast is said in Daniel 7:17 to be a king, and it is generally true that a king rules over one kingdom. Hence, each beast is considered to be one kingdom or power, not several such powers or kingdoms, even though the Bible does show them subdividing as time went on. This indicates that the body of each beast is what is considered to be one, because each is considered to be a king. And yet, as time goes on, they were shown subdivided. The only way this can be true is if each beast's body is one king and then subdivided later where applicable. Next principle is the separate powers principle. This rule states, separate kingdoms that arise independently of each other will normally be represented by separate beasts. Each of the four kingdoms of Daniel 7 are represented by four separate beasts rather than four heads or four horns on a single beast. Babylon was represented by a lion, Greece by a four-headed leopard. The truth of this is demonstrated by Daniel 7:17, which says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. If these were not independent kingdoms, which by definition means that they are separate powers, then why say they are four kings? Why not say they are one king, but four beasts? But no, instead, they are said to be four kings, thereby demonstrating that each beast represented a separate kingdom. The four kingdoms of Daniel 7 could have been represented by a single beast with four heads, and one of the four heads would have four horns to represent Greece and the kingdoms that came up out of it. Another of the four heads would have 10 horns to represent Rome and its follow-up kingdoms, but God did not do it this way. Why? He could have done it this way. One reason that a beast with four heads is described as described above was not used as that the heads and horns represent powers that arise from a common preceding kingdom, whereas a beast usually represents a power that does not arise from a common preceding kingdom or power. The leopard beast of Revelation 13 and the scarlet beast of Revelation 17 are exceptions to this. God chose this to establish this pattern because it would be useful to teach certain things about the powers that arose and would be useful for future use in Revelation. Another reason separate beasts were used to represent the four kingdoms was that if you were to place them all of them as heads on one beast, that would imply that they came up at the same time or were concurrent. But these kingdoms were actually sequential, as demonstrated by history. So they had to be shown as separate beasts. You see, this is also helps one to know that heads cannot represent sequential kingdoms. For here was a golden opportunity for God to show that heads were sequential, yet he did not take advantage of this opportunity. And we'll pick up here when we get back from this short break. Don't go anywhere.